and praise this child. It played its time. Pole and Silas prayed at night, and in their bed began to sing. Their chains were loose, and they. I bless your name, I bless your name, I give you honor, I give you praise, you are the light that took the way, I bless your name. Reach out and praise, defy the chains, and they will fall in Jesus' name. I bless your name, I bless your name, I bless your name, I give you all. To the
you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's a great privilege to be here tonight. The pastor was sending greetings to the church. Also, you want to welcome Brother Crosby. Brother Crosby is not new. It's not necessary to introduce him because he's one of this house. He always come. And we welcome him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the brute should have his liberty and preach the word as the Lord has led him. Let's sing the chorus, and then we ask Brother Crosby to come forth with the word of God.
I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise.
Lord, how many are blessing his name in their hearts?
Amen.
Amen. I greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's my humble honor to be once again in Dublin for fellowship. Amen. I would like to thank Brother Andrew for the special privilege of standing behind the sacred desk. It's great trust, which by God's grace we will not betray. Amen.
Amen.
Do you love him tonight?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's nice to see, like a brother says, I'm not a visitor here. I was asking, where's Brother Jose? I see him right there. It's nice to see my brother. Little Joshua is becoming big Joshua. Amen.
Amen.
Sister Patience, God bless you. Tara, my daughter, are you well? God bless you. Amen. Brother James, Sister Kitana, Brother Francois, all the believers, I know everyone here. Praise the Lord. Maybe I'll see new ones tomorrow, but as for now, I believe I know everyone. Thank you, Brother Vegas, for your sacrifice. Brother Wilmo, my, praise the Lord. How many are happy to be in God's house? Amen. I'm under expectation. I trust that the little thought that I've been ministering in our little church might also be a blessing here tonight.
Amen.
And the church also sends its greetings. And as usual, I normally travel with my wife. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not like Brother Andrew, who leaves his wife behind. Amen. I believe he's probably streaming, or Brother George is streaming if they're not preaching. It's not nice to leave your wife, you know. I travel with my wife, Brother Andrew. Amen. So, you see, when a pastor travels with his wife, it sets a good example on the flock. And if a pastor keeps leaving his wife, now Brother George is following suit now. He's now leaving his wife behind. So, I trust that this goes home and helps them to travel with their wives and families. Amen. He's probably laughing wherever he is, saying, ah, praise the Lord. How many would like for me to be myself? Amen. I greet you once again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we just bow our heads and pray before we enter into the word? Precious Father, oh God, we come before you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we come behind the blood, knowing, Lord, that if you see us through the blood, you said red through red will produce white. Heavenly Father, none of us can atone for our sins, mistakes, backslidings, but we are looking up unto you tonight. Be merciful, Father. Even, Lord, this little thought I have in my heart, I pray that may it be a blessing to the body of Christ, this part of the world. Heavenly Father, bless Brother Andrew and Brother George, even as they are doing their part in the vineyard of the Lord in Israel. Undertake for them as you also undertake for us down here. We plead your blood and we pray for a special unction of the Holy Ghost. Have your way with us tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. I just want us to turn to Isaiah chapter 9. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It's kind of like a very familiar scripture to us. We've been in the message for a little while. Normally we use it to convince people about the Godhead, because it really explains the Godhead. But apart from it being a source of convincing the Godhead, there is more to this scripture than meets the eye. Amen. The Bible says, "For unto us a child is born." Amen. That child was born with a peculiar birth. "And unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Amen. 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 Verse 7 says, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end." Amen. Praise the Lord. So I would just like to extract a text tonight from the very same scripture. Amen. Back to verse 6, the part which says, "The government shall be upon his shoulder." Amen. May God bless the reading of his word, and may you be seated in his presence. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now for a title tonight, I want to preach about "The government shall be upon his shoulder." I've been preaching about this scripture from the beginning of the year right up to today, because just when you want to leave the thought, God unveils something and unveils something and keeps unveiling it until it becomes something that becomes very, very indelible upon your heart, especially as you begin the year. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, as I introduce my sermon, I just want to start with this quotation so that you know where I'm getting my inspiration from. Here's what the prophet says in the message, says we would see Jesus. He says, Isaiah said, his name shall be called, in the same chapter, his name shall be called, you know, see, number 55, you know, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. And the prophet says, Amen. If you actually listen to the tape, you can sense the emotion behind the scripture when he's commenting on it. And Brother Bram said, "Wished I had time. I ought to. I would like to take a text on each one of them. Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Wonderful." Amen. If the prophet says, "I wished I had time to take a text out of each part of what that scripture of Isaiah 9:6, it means, brother, there has got to be something about it. Amen. Amen. Brother Branham was our prophet. He left the seed word. And the fivefold is supposed to glean from where Brother Branham left. Amen. And catch these little things that Brother Branham said, "I wish I had time." So, because he didn't have time, but he's given us a clue that there is got to be time set aside to deal with each component of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Many times, many people, the moment you speak about Isaiah 9, 6, their mind goes straight to convincing someone about the Godhead. Praise the Lord. Because it's a very peculiar scripture. It starts with that, "Unto us a child is born." Praise the Lord. And it goes to us, "Unto us a son is given." And then it goes and gives his names. "And this son shall be called the Mighty God. This son shall be called the Everlasting Father." What kind of a son becomes a father and a mighty God? Praise the Lord. So straightforward, straight away you can see that it's talking about the deity, the oneness, the Godhead, God revealing himself in various attributes. Now, if Brother Branham said, "I wished I had time to deal with these on each one of them as a text," That's where I got intrigued and interested. That could there be something more deeper concerning this scripture? Then I began to study and I began to pray about it and see as I started to scour through the message, listening to tapes, I actually discovered that there is a lot. And since January up to today, I am still preaching on the same scripture. Praise the Lord. I don't know what part I am at now, but it's been quite a while. Using the same scripture, good to see Brother James. He came, I think, about 2 weeks back. We were still preaching from the same scripture. Amen. So, the scripture says, the government shall be upon his shoulder. That's the first component you come across in this scripture. Is about the government. Now, we all know that a government is a ruling body. A government is an authority. A government is an institute that delegates power and sees to it that that power is adhered to and the laws are complied with and everybody and every citizen is living according to that law. Praise the Lord. So now if a government is upon his shoulder, it never says shoulders. It says shoulder. Amen. There's got to be something there that Brother Branham is trying to open our understanding to through the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Just so I lay up my background, I just want you to see that when Christ came and did his mission and fulfilled his mission of dying and resurrecting for us, he comes again in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And he says, all power has been given unto me. If you could put that scripture up, my brother, so that we quickly just have this little study. Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Amen. This was after he had been crucified, buried. Amen. And before all that, we knew him to be a powerful God. But yet now, he comes after his resurrection. And he says, all power. All means all. In heaven and in earth is given unto me. That in itself is also quite a marvelous thing to know. That all power is given to me. I thought he already had the power. What kind of power is Christ talking about here now? That comes after he had actually exercised all power. In Matthew chapter 10, he comes with, he assembles all his disciples and he charges them to go two by two. And he gives them power to heal, power to cast out devils, power to do everything, power to give salvation. He even says, whichever house you go to, amen, if they don't receive you, shake your feet and rub off the dust and judgment has struck that house. But yet he still comes again and says, all power. Did he have partial power then? My brother, my sister, I give you to understand that God never does anything before he releases it. Amen. He never gives you a power that is not aware of what it's capable of. Amen. He never gives you a word that he has not tried to see what it can bring you out from. He never gives you anything before he knows its ability. Amen. Say amen to that, someone. Amen. What do you mean, Brother Crosby? These people that received power in Matthew chapter 10, even Judas was amongst them. But yet these are the very same people that he gave power in Acts chapter 2. Amen. When he came down. Amen. At Pentecost. Amen. After having told them to tarry, he wanted to prove his power first. And he tried it
on 12 of his disciples, yet one of them was a devil, yet that same power still cast out devils. Amen. So now, when they are now regenerated in Acts chapter 2, he gives them that same power. And this time now, he knows what it can do with a genuine believer. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. There is nothing that God does without first rehearsing it. Amen. Not even the third pull could he do before he starts to test it. Amen. Before Brother Branham could speak to Sister Hetty Wright about the two boys, the power was tested on the squirrels. By the time Brother Branham was speaking, he knew that if that super anointing descends upon me, it's a done deal. Amen. Because it had already been proven. Amen. Because God moves from glory to glory, from strength to strength, from power to power. He never allows you to go through something that he has not tried to see how he will come out of it. Amen. Amen. So with all the things of God, they are carefully and meticulously orchestrated. He just doesn't do things haphazard. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. He rehearses his power. He makes sure that you also know what you are able to do. Amen. Through that same power. Brother Crosby, can you give us another example? I'm glad you asked. There is another example I can tell you. There is a man called David. Before David could kill Goliath, God had to rehearse that power on a lion and a bear. Say amen, somebody. Before you can be delivered from what's bothering you, think of the things that God already delivered you from. That shows that same power can do the same now. Say amen to that someone. These problems that we meet in life, they start at a certain stage when you are still learning whether the slingshot works. And after you've had experience with the slingshot on the lion, first day, it's like maybe it's luck. Maybe it's just you were fortunate. You just escaped. But then you begin to get into another problem which is more deeper than the one you had before. And then you apply the same principles and you come out more powerful, and then you begin to know that this slingshot killed a lion. It has killed a bear. It might probably kill Goliath too. So whatever you are facing right now, you have probably rehearsed what power you have. And you probably just need to be reminded that the same power that brought you out in 2012 can bring you out in 2014. That's what God does. He never does things without rehearsing. Praise the Lord. When he gave Brother Branham the ability to speak, the experience of the third pull, he gave it to the squirrels, Sister Hetty Wright, two children. A year later, 12 children, Brother Ed Dalton. And when Brother Branham needed it the most, when his wife was about to die, that same spirit came and said, speak. It will be what you say. By this time, he couldn't doubt that power because he had seen it countless times. How many believe in the power that we have been given in this message? So when God does his things, even in the life of a believer, he makes sure that you have tasted. He makes sure you have experienced it. He makes sure it's well rehearsed. He can't put you on a showdown with the devil unless he knows what you are capable of doing. No wonder Elijah could stand at Mount Carmel and confront all those Balaam worshippers. He already knew what power was in him and what that power can do. Imagine how embarrassing it could have been for him to stand and say, now, Lord, let the fire fall. And God says, how? It's never done before. Are you sure? But the man stood confident, knowing that God cannot fail. Say amen to that someone. I want to assure someone tonight that you also stand confident upon this word, knowing that God cannot fail. Amen. Allow me to take off my jacket. Oh, you are a nice congregation to preach to. I never thought I would take this long to break through, but I feel good already. Oh, someone say amen to that. Oh, brother, I'm different to Brother Andrew. Brother Andrew would have you quiet so that he really extrapolates the word. I'll have you make some noise so that I know that it's getting through somehow. Oh, brother, I'm that type of a person that gets out of place when there ain't enough noise. But brother, there's got to be something to shout about. Let me tell you, you've got the power. Say amen to that someone. Praise the Lord. So you see now, Isaiah is catching a prophecy. And he gives it to people. Says, unto us, a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. So today, we are dealing with that government part. Amen. Amen. Tomorrow, we will deal with another component. Remember, the prophet would have taken each component as a sermon. And we don't know whether the sermon was going to be one or a series. So we are also doing the same. We are taking that quotation from says, we would see Jesus, paragraph 23, and saying, wished I had time. I ought to. I would like to take a text on each one of them. Amen. Counselor, amen. Prince of Peace, Mighty God, amen. Everlasting Father, wonderful. Amen. These things are important, saints. Amen. These things are vital, saints. Amen. Once the bride knows who she is, amen, that's the thing that will trigger the rapture. Amen. Not when we are wandering, amen. From, you know, when we are in a wandering state of affairs, there comes to a time where we are positionally placed. Amen. And when we are positionally placed, we know what this word can do. Amen. And we also know what our word can do. Amen. 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 Then we can speak the word. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's raise it up. This is what the prophet says in the message, the Philadelphian church. I want you to follow this with me. Praise the Lord. There isn't anything in this life, satisfying as it may be, as good and as fine as it may be, but you will find the sum total of all perfection in Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Everything fades into insignificance. Amen. Amen. What is the prophet trying to tell you? That after all's been said and done, there is nothing of greater value than being in Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Everything eventually fades away. Its value, its need. There comes a time when you are praying for school fees. There comes a time when you want to buy a house. After receiving all those things, they still fade into insignificance. The only thing that matters and that gains more prominence as you begin to approach your immortality, amen, your immortality meeting with your mortality, you begin to see that Christ is all that matters. Amen. Says, listen to what the prophet says. He hath the key of David. This beautiful phrase follows after the preceding verse. He that is true, Christ, the perfect realization. Contrasted with partial realization. That's where there is a difference between Pentecostals and message believers. Amen. Message believers is it's more real. Amen. It's give me Christ, amen, or else I die. Yes. But Pentecostals is bless me. Give me blessings only. Never mind how I live. Never mind how I conduct myself. But with us, it's a perfect realization. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Says here, Moses was a prophet of God, but Jesus like unto Moses. And the prophet of God, David, a man after God's own heart, but the king of Israel, but Jesus is the greater David, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. God, I like that phrase, God. Very God. There is nothing lacking in him. He's so very God. He's absolutely God. Oh, say amen to that someone. When I saw that, I just said, wow, Brother Branham had a way of putting these faces. God, very God. What type of a God do we worship? Not an imitation God. A very genuine God. Very, very God. Worth worshiping. Because God is an object of worship. All other things will fade into insignificance. But God himself. Why am I saying this? Because once you catch the mystery behind this government upon his shoulders, you will want God, very God, in your life. You will not misuse that authority that a believer ought to have. Amen. It says, now, David was born of the tribe of Judah, out of whom no priests came. Yet he ate the shewbread reserved for priests. He was the great warrior, overcoming the enemy, establishing the people. And as king, he sat on the throne. He was a prophet. He was a wonderful type of Christ. Oh, I like that. Praise the Lord. Why is it saying David? David became a priest. Allow me to just come close to where you are. I like to connect with my audience this way. David wasn't a priest after the order that God set of priesthood. But David was of the tribe of Judah. But yet, he, out of David came the real priest, Jesus Christ. Why did God change that kind of priesthood instead of bringing a Levitical priesthood and bringing Christ out of a Levitical priesthood? What's the background of Judah, where David came from? Judah came out of more of an incestuous relationship between a father-in-law and a daughter-in-law. Praise the Lord. Amen. Judah himself wasn't as perfect. But watch Levi. Levi was strict, methodical. Until the Bible calls Simeon and Levi instruments of cruelty. My brother, if we were under the Levitical priesthood, none of us here would qualify to be Christians. Because the condition was way tougher. But yet, when Christ came, he's the one that came with saying, he without sin, let him cast the first stone. He gave us a chance. Through the priesthood of Judah, came out the real priest after the order of Melchizedek. Because this is just by predestination. Never mind your tribe. Never mind your background. Never mind how you were born. That's immaterial. It's what seed gem God has put in your heart. That's what makes you answer to the message of your day. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. But if you were under this Levitical priesthood, you could never get into the temple to minister. You would have to show your lineage. You would have to show your background. You would have to show you are worthy. Brother, I am glad I serve a God who did not call me out of worthiness, but he called me out of his plan before the foundation of the world. So I don't regret my past. And so should you. You shouldn't regret your past. Praise the Lord. It's not where I came from, but it's where I'm going. Amen. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. That same David came out of a relationship between a Moabitish woman and a Jew. And God did it for a purpose. So, gives us all equal opportunities. Amen. That's why the Bible says, come as you are. Amen. He starts you where you are ready to start. Don't ignore the call when it comes upon your life. Praise the Lord. It's good to see my friend coming in and my little girls. My little girl ain't little anymore. And my little boys ain't little anymore. Praise the Lord. How are you doing? God bless you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You see, when God does these things, he knows the end from the beginning. Amen. You need to know that you are a special breed. For you to be magnetized to the message, it's not a small thing.
Amen.
Many times we are stuck in looking at our history until we don't give each other a chance. And that's the devil's trap.
Amen.
Don't look at where you've fallen.
Amen.
If you've made your life right, just look ahead.
Amen.
Don't go back.
Amen.
Don't be a fisherman who fishes your own things. Even when you want to rise up in faith, something just comes and knocks you on the head and says, it's not for you, it's for the perfect bride. Brother, there ain't going to be no perfect bride. God has to perfect you.
Amen.
Says there shall be a church without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. Coming out of the mess we came from, it means he knows his power, what it's capable of doing. He already rehearsed it on Rahab, the prostitute, and she came out all right. He rehearsed it on Moab, on Ruth the Moabitish, and she came out all right. He knows what you and I will come out like in the last days.
Amen.
So there ain't no fretting about. And brother, you need to start to develop a confidence in knowing that God is not a poor general. God is not a poor businessman who does his business mediocre. He is not looking for people to feel sorry for. And Christians to feel sorry for him, to say, well, if we don't go to church now, who will go to a message church? Seeing it's a bunch of miserable people left, right, and center. No, God is not like that. If he brought you into the message, he knows what plans he has for you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are a person of great value. Someone died for you and put you in the last days for a purpose. As I'm preaching right now, we are trying to dissolve all these spirits of Laodicea that overwhelm us and overflood us and make us feel small and inferior. Let me tell you, brother, the devil is a bully who specializes in intimidation. Oh, brother, you rise up above that devil. Praise the Lord. Am I okay now? Amen. Do we love him?
Amen.
So when it comes to being a Christian, everything else fades into insignificance. We are now living in a time where the only thing that should have serious significance is your walk with Christ.
Amen.
Nothing else. Nothing, absolutely nothing. If you have £1 million or €1 million, you might actually lose that. But if you have Christ, if you have Christ, you have the most important. You have all that you need in this part of the journey. Praise the Lord. Say amen to that someone. So you see, when Isaiah spoke that scripture, it wasn't for us to use it as we argue with denominational people.
Amen.
Because that's what we normally use it for. You meet someone who goes to a Pentecostal who believes in Trinity. You sit down with them and say, right, let me show you that there is no three gods, but there is one God manifested in several offices. Turn with me to Isaiah 9, verse. At that point, we all feel very spiritually proud. Turn with me to Isaiah 9. Read. Unto us, a child is born. Read. Unto us, a son is given. Do you see? Capital S, son. Read. The government shall be upon his shoulders. Read. He shall be called Wonderful. Watch that. Capital W. Read. He shall be called the Mighty God. See, a son, the Mighty God. You see, this is the mystery of the Godhead. Brother, I don't read it like that anymore.
Amen.
It's not a scripture for convincing. It's a scripture that has convinced me.
Amen.
Now I no longer say unto us, a son is given. Seeing we are living in the I generation. I now say, unto me,
amen,
a son is given.
Amen.
Unto me, the government shall be upon,
amen,
his shoulder. It's now a personal scripture. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Turn with me again to Isaiah 22, verse 22. And also to Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. As I begin to get into my sermon. Are we together?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Watch what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 22. It says, And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. Amen. So, how many things are on this particular shoulder? Firstly, it says, the government shall be upon his shoulder. And now, the scripture says, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. So, he shall open, and none shall shut. And he shall shut, and none shall open. That scripture is now picked up by the Holy Ghost in Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. Let's have that, my brother. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. Amen. David was just a man coming out of the tribe of Judah. But watch the transition where God now takes Isaiah 22:22 and says, he has the key of the house of David upon his shoulder. In that same scripture, we now find it in Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. And after this, the Bible says, there is an open door that no man can, if that door is open, no man can shut it. Praise the Lord. And brother, these things we have grown hearing in the message. We have grown knowing that there is something called, there is one that openeth and no man shutteth. If he opens a job for me, no one can shut it. If he opens a house for me, no one can take it away. Amen. Brother, these things are far more deeper than just evangelizing on them and saying there is a door open. There is things that the Holy Spirit was trying to say throughout the ages. Amen. Can we get a little bit deeper into the spoken word?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Watch what the prophet says. Raise it up. Says, now, remember Brother Branham is explaining about David. Now he gets to explain. Now it says in Isaiah 22, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. So he shall open and none shall shut. And he shall shut and none shall open. And watch where I've highlighted. Says, the Spirit uses this Old Testament reference concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and his ministry in the church. What the key of David signifies at that time is a mere shadow. Praise the Lord. Which is now fulfilled in Jesus standing in the midst of the lampstands. What is the prophet saying to you, my brother? He's saying that scripture was just a shadow. Its reality is Jesus. Because that scripture comes now in the Philadelphian church age, Revelation 3:7 says, now it's in the lampstands. It's now in the church ages. It's not even applicable to the Jews that said it. The Jews said it through Isaiah, their Jewish prophet. But it wasn't for a Jewish dispensation. It was for a Gentile dispensation. It was for those who are in the church ages. Brother, when you catch it like I did, you feel like shouting somehow. That, hey, are we that precious that all those Jews heard Isaiah prophesy, but yet the prophecy had nothing to do with them. It was for us. And he says there, says here, it has to do with our Lord after his resurrection, not his earthly pilgrimage. Not even Christ himself could claim to open a door and no man shut it. All that he was doing was rehearsing to show us that if he did it, he can do it in us, because it's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Before, while he was in his corporal body, now he's operating in the framework of the church. So whatever he did in body, he can now do in his body. Amen. Praise the Lord. Listen to this. But what does this key signify? Because you hear it a lot. The key of David. The key of David. He had the key of David. He opened it. No man shut it. There is an open door. We have heard it a lot. But what does it signify? What is it to you? When you hear that, what does it trigger in your faith or your spiritual life? Here's what the prophet says. The answer lies in the position of the key. Hang on here, Brother Crosby, you've lost me. I thought we were talking about the government upon his shoulder. Now we are on the key of David. How is this going on? It's okay, I'm glad you asked. Praise the Lord. Says, it is the key is not in his hand. It is not worn around his neck. It is not placed in the hands of other men. Or the verse would not have been saying he alone has the use of the key. For he alone opens and shuts, and no man has the right but Jesus himself. Isn't that right? But where is the key? It is on his shoulder. But what does the shoulder have to do with it? Read Isaiah 9, verse 6. We were looking at the government, and he took us to Isaiah 22. Now he's taking us back to Isaiah 9. So there must be a coalition between the key of David and the government upon his shoulders. Because both the things are on the shoulder. Praise the Lord. Have I lost anybody yet? I'm trying to explain it really clearly. Praise the Lord. And it says here, the government shall be upon his shoulder. But what does this mean? And the answer is this. The phrase, government upon his shoulder, comes from the wedding ceremony of the East. When the bride has been committed to the bridegroom, he takes off a veil and places it over the groom's shoulder, signifying that not only is she under his dominion, that she has transferred her rights to him. And that he is the head, but also that he bears the responsibility and the care, and that he, and he alone, no one else, no other man, no other power, he has anything, any right and responsibility. And that, beloved, is the key of David. Amen. What has the prophet just said? When I read it, it blew my mind. It blew my mind that, oh, okay, who? When Isaiah spoke, he says, Isaiah 9, unto us son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. So we are thinking that it's a government where Christ comes down with, it's upon his shoulder, such authority. He's even got the prime minister and he's got the house of parliament and like just a government is set up. Then Brother Branham had to explain it in such a way that for him to just go straight to say what the government is, he has to actually give it like a riddle kind of a thing. He takes you to Isaiah 22:22, where there is something also on a shoulder. But this time it's not called the government. It's called the key of David. The key of the house of David. And then he says, so what is the key of the house of David? Then he takes you back to Isaiah 9. And then he says, Isaiah chapter 9, the government upon his shoulder, that is the key of David. Anybody catching it? Anybody catching it? Gives me to understand that the key of David is the government upon his shoulder. And the government upon his shoulder is the key of David. In other words, they are one and the same thing. If you understand the key of David, that it is he, it's not in the hands of a man. But the key of David is on a shoulder. And the key of David, when you open, no man can shut. When you shut, no man can open. In other words, let's just go as we see it. Brother Branham further now explains, for that to make sense, he takes you to an oriental wedding ceremony. When this bride comes, she takes off a veil and she slaps it or puts it on the shoulder of the husband. She's acknowledging that I am yours. That, my friend, is the invisible union of the bride. And it's happening right now. She acknowledges that I am yours and you are mine. No one has responsibility over me. I have surrendered everything to you. Now, when she surrenders that authority to the husband also now surrenders his responsibility on the wife. That now, because you've surrendered to me, I shall be fully responsible for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Watch what the prophet says. It says, he and he alone and no one else, no other man, no other power, he has any right and responsibility. And that, beloved, is the key of David. God being sovereign, he foreknew by divine decree exactly who would be in his bride. Amen. So you are not here by mistake. Amen. Or somebody that feels sorry for preachers in the message that if I don't go, nobody will say amen. Amen. The moment we start to see many, many people claiming to be the bride, we begin to think, maybe we have a mixed multitude here. But when we see people that say whether we are 5, whether we are 10, whether we are 50, whether we are 100, whether we are 1,000, it makes no difference. We are believers anyhow. It gives to show you that there is a character there that only Christ could have predestinated. When you begin to come to church, not for your neighbor, not for your friend, not for your husband, but for yourself, you have accepted the invisible union of the bride. That is why it's called an invisible union. There comes a time when daddy's God becomes your God. Praise the Lord. When you begin to say, daddy, don't worry about praying for me concerning repentance. I'm praying for you to not bring disgrace to this family. Praise the Lord. And then you begin to know that daddy's God has become daughter's God. Praise the Lord. Do you love him tonight? Amen. Can I still preach? Amen. Or give the Lord a hand in praise, somebody? Let's raise it up. It says, she is wholly committed to him and he accepts the obligation. He is her head, for Christ is the head of the church. As Sarah called Abraham Lord, even so the bride is happy that he is her Lord. He speaks and she obeys, for that is her delight. The bride is not burdened by the message of its day. The message of the hour is our delight. Listening to tapes is not old manner. Listening to tapes is not things of the past. To us, is the voice of our lover. Because we are in an invisible union. We are his wife and he's our husband. And he has accepted the responsibility. That ought to make a Methodist shout. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now watch. Here is the dilemma we have now. But have men heeded to this truth? Have they esteemed this person, Christ, who alone has the full sovereign authority over his church? Brother Branham says, I say no. It behooveth us now to find the true program of God. Go back to what the message is. Not what the church ought to be. What the mess. What did Brother Branham have in vision when he saw a bride in the last days? But if we are here for church programs, the situation and the spirits of Laodicea will force us to comply with what the world wants. All of a sudden we'll start to do like, oh, so why can't we do like these Pentecostal churches like T.D. Jakes and all? We are different. And you must be accustomed to the fact that we are different. And we ain't gonna change. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. No matter what pressure is put upon us, we shall be listening to tapes and calling William Branham our prophet. He is not expired because he's the Eliezer to take us to our husband Isaac in an invisible union of the bride. And when we saw him, we now like and esteem that person. That person is Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Imagine loving a husband you have not seen. That's why Rebecca had a character that surpasses everybody. Imagine us loving a Christ who we have not seen. The Jews bypassed that. It was especially for us. So when he says the government shall be upon his shoulder, where is the part of the body of the shoulder? For those that are message taught, Christ is the head. In the message of grace, he comes with shoutings of grace as the capstone. But where does he come? On a body. Where is a body? A body is where the shoulder is. So where is the key of David? It's on the bride. Hallelujah. He has given it. It has left him. And he has given that key of David to the bride. Because it's on the... Brother Bob says, watch what part it is at. Says the position is important. It's not on the head. It's not in the hand. It's on the shoulder. Praise the Lord. As Christ is the head, the church is the body. The body starts with the shoulder. The head is upwards. Listen to what the prophet says. This is what churches have done now. Says, men have heeded to this truth? No. Says, full sovereign authority over his church. I say no. For in every age, the church has been governed by a hierarchy, a priesthood, an apostolic succession, closing the door of mercy and grace to whom it will. And instead of assuming the love and responsibility of the church, it has with mercenary lust preyed upon her and destroyed her. Why did the prophet say mercenary lust? A mercenary is not a soldier who wears uniform and you can see where he's coming from. It's like a guerrilla tactics. And it's the priests that have made the church and preyed upon it with mercenary lust. That is why sins in the pulpit are getting more and more than sins in the church. Because of the spirit of trying to control and do everything the way you want it to be done. Praise the Lord. There, that's when you begin to appreciate a properly message taught church. Where we come from in Africa, if you just wonder or ask something about what's going on, you are put in the hands of the devil. Oh yes. And most people that are put in the hands of the devil, it's not so much that church order and protocol was being followed. It was that the pastor wanted to show you that I am here, you are there, and I can kick you out of this church. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
That is called mercenary. A mercenary does not come in an obvious way. He has an ability to snipe, which means he can find a point where you just, you are gone. You don't even know where you are shot from. He's a mercenary. But watch, it's now mercenary lust. If a pastor comes to you and says, sister, you are the only one who's won my heart other than my wife. It's only me and you. He's lying. He's a mercenary. You'll find there is 50 other sisters with the same statement you think is a secret. Because he's a mercenary. You can't go and ask that. The pastor said it's only me and him. Could it be true? He even said that to me. I thought I'm the main one. It's a mercenary lust.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Can I still preach?
Amen.
Raise it up. The clergy lived in luxury.
Amen.
While the poor church fed on husks of abuse. It's there in the church ages. People they wonder and worry when they read it in the papers and say, what's going on? What's going on? No, the prophet already told us these things. Says he, and not one age did any difference. Each bound itself to organization and put the government upon men and committed the church to that government. The government is upon his shoulder, not upon men. And it says here, dare let the people rise up and they are brutally suppressed or cast out. Every denomination has done that. Brother David, you know what that means, eh?
Mm.
Says here, every denomination swears that it is the key to the government of the church. Every denomination claims that it opens the door. When it opens, come to our church. You've got a problem with the job. Come to our church. The man of God, when he prays for you, you'll get it. Saints, Brother Branham did not come with a message that binds us to other men. He came with a message that empowers the bride of Christ. There is no holy priesthood. There is no holy power. The government is upon his shoulder.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Listen to this. But that is not true. It is Jesus and Jesus alone. He sets the members of the body. Who sets the members of the body? That's why people should be wise enough not to have a Congolese church, a Zimbabwean church, a Ghanaian church. You should know that you are sitting in your various different nationalities because it's Christ who forms the body. He didn't handpick a tribe. I know it happens mostly in Europe. When people gather, you see that, no, there's more Ghanaians here, you start a Ghanaian church. There's more Congolese here, you pull away, you start another one. There's more Zimbabweans here, you pull away, start another one. That is just mere politics. When Christ is setting up his body, he'll bring a Ghanaian from there. Unbeknown to him, he lands here. Without even expecting or planning that he will come. Then he takes a Congolese, then he brings there. And the Malawian throws them in. Lithuanian throws them in. Zimbabwean throws them in. And then he says, there's my beautiful bride. Be one and in one accord.
Amen.
Not on racial grounds. Not on tribal grounds. Not on Clara. Not on anything. But the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Oh, say amen to that someone. Praise the Lord. You didn't even have to choose a white pastor. God just ordained it that way. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The God, the all-wise God, he just chose it that way. So, but when people just sit down in their little groups and call us, you know, we come from Africa. People from Africa are very theatrical. That's why you see I can't even stand there and preach steady in the pulpit. We like a bit of action. We grew up eating chilies and salt.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. If you find a man of God who's quite sober and quiet with a quiet demeanor, to you he's not preaching unless he bangs the pulpit and he rises and stands on the chair. Then you say, the anointing, the anointing. You are lying to yourself. The anointing is in the word. Say amen to that someone. We should mature. Praise the Lord. Brother Andrew comes and say, saints, I just wanted to thank God, you know, God is just ministering to me. And I come and I bang the pulpit and I rise over. No, it's just disposition. It's just a difference in disposition. Even when you was a baby, how many here babies cry differently? There are some babies when they start to cry, it's, and the others will just cry. It's just difference in disposition. That's why God gave us that hilly-billy preacher to balance us up. Each one made in his own way, ministering God in the way God made them. Brother, sister, you've got to mature to be in the bride. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I get too carried away. You all pardon. You know me. I don't mean no harm to nobody. That's how I preach. Praise the Lord. But I trust that it's helping somebody. Amen. Praise the Lord. Clergy, living in luxury while the poor fed on husks of abuse. And not one age did any different. Each bound itself to organization and put the government upon men and committed the church to that government. Praise the Lord. If the diocese says such and such a statement. Now I've seen in the message we don't have the diocese. We have people that carry big ministry labels. If they come here, even if they preach something wrong, you'll all say, but brother so-and-so said this. He's big. Do you know how much his congregation is? He's a big minister. He's from Congo. He's got 14,000. Praise the Lord. We need to rise above those kind of levels. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm glad Brother Andrew is not here. Because at least I can be at liberty. Because Brother Andrew is not difficult to see if he's uncomfortable. He just gets red while he's there. And then you know, okay, wrong subject. Let's change. At least he's not here for now. Amen. I can tell you as it is. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There is no big me and little you in the message. If God gave you a pastor, particularly Brother Andrew, he's a very good man. He's one man I've known for a very, very long time. He has no iota of deception. Very consistent in his Christian walk. Praise the Lord. Other people, by now you'd have seen their colors. But Brother Andrew, he still remains the same. Praise the Lord. Could be a very, very wealthy man. He didn't come from a poor background. You must know that. He's not preaching for your tithes. Praise the Lord. I don't have the luxury he has of being questioned integrity. Rather, let me say this. I'm more questionable than he is. So don't you think, he's a straight man, someone who just predestinated his life to the gospel. If he wasn't a pastor, he would still be doing something for the Lord. That's his makeup. And that's where you ought to have given your pastor an applause while he's away. Watch this. Back. Says here. Every denomination claims to open the door, but that is not true. It is Jesus and Jesus alone. He sets the members in the body. He endows them with their ministries. He puts the gifts at her disposal. He cares for her and guides her along. She is his sole property. Amen. He has no other one but her. Amen. That's why he's happy to give her that authority. Amen. Praise the Lord. Raise it up. Now watch what the prophet says. The church now should have a double portion of the Spirit. Amen. For it is true, like Elijah, the garment fell upon Elisha. Double portion. Same thing come upon Jesus. Now, you say, oh, Brother Branham, You are talking about his church. That's right. That's his body. His church is his body. Is that right? Isn't my wife part of my body? And your wife part of your body? Brother Bram says, congregation says, flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone, by holy union. Is that right? Congregation says, that's the reason a Christian shouldn't be married to a harlot. See, that's not right. No, say, because it breaks all the things of God. Praise the Lord. Raise it up. You say, oh, Brother Branham, wait a minute. You talk about the Spirit of Christ upon, the Bible says it would. Is that right? And he refers again to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Says, unto us a child is born, son is given, name shall be called Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And the government shall be upon his, Brother Bram says, his what?
Amen.
Congregation answer says. And Brother Bram says, that's part of his body. And Brother Bram says, my.
Amen.
That's his body. Is it?
Amen.
Amen. His shoulders is his body. Where is the government upon on earth at? In his. So that scripture which says the government shall be upon his shoulder, is it talking about Christ? Who is it talking about? Who is it talking about? Who has the key to open and no man can shut? It's not Christ. It's the bride. It's not Christ. He's given that power to us. That's why that quotation says this wasn't in his earthly pilgrimage, but it was in the lampstands. In the church ages. That's why when it says he opens and no man can shut, it's not Christ. It's the bride that opens and no man can shut. That is why the Bible says in Matthew chapter 18, verse 18, if any of you agree on anything, whatever you say shall be done. Say amen to that someone. If we say our brother is not being deported, if any two of you agree on anything, it shall be done. Why? Because it's our jurisdiction. The government is upon our shoulder. But many times people have left that government with Christ. Christ gave it back to us through an invisible union. That's what the prophet is trying to explain. In the spoken word is the original seed, and in the Philadelphian church age. But somehow we missed it. We seem to think that he opens. No, it's the shoulder that opens and no man shall shut. Hence now, we have Isaiah 22, verse 22. Let's read it again. Put it back there, young man. Are you catching it, church?
Amen.
See, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. The government is upon his shoulder. The key of David is upon his shoulder. Unless these two are one thing. Unless the key of David is the shoulder. Or on the shoulder is the government. And the government is the key of David. So now, Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, now makes sense. Thank God for your prophets. Or else we would have left it in the church ages. We have, that scripture has been evangelized for the countless number of times. Spurgeon evangelized on it. Says when Christ opens a door, no man can shut. No, Christ is not expecting to open a door that no man can shut. No, he's not doing that. He's in heaven resting. He's given you the power. He's given you the authority. The opening is done by you, my brother. You who knows your position in the word. When you begin to declare, that thing has to happen. That is why he says when you go before the courts, it will be given you what to say.
Amen.
That's the power. That when a sister had died in the first church age, the church prayed and the sister rose.
Amen.
They knew that the government is upon them. It will be what you say it should be. The reason why we are not getting results is immaturity and not knowing what our position is. That's why people still dilly-dally in little sinful things. Brother, when you know what power has been invested on you, and he says here, whatever he says is the bride's delight. Oh my. Praise the Lord. He says, no, back to the scripture. Watch this. He says, so he shall open. That's where people get, they think they still leave that power to Christ. They don't even know that it's in mystery form. It has been put on the shoulder. And the shoulder is a part of the body. It's not even in the hand. Amen. Are you getting it, church? Amen. And none shall shut. And he shall shut. And none shall open. Revelation chapter 3 verse 7. And unto the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. That scripture is Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. The part which says the government shall be upon his shoulder. That's why Brother Branham went backwards and forth with Isaiah 22:22, back to Isaiah 9:6, back to Isaiah 22:22. And then Brother Branham says, now notice, this is not happening in Christ's earthly pilgrimage. When is it happening? It's in the church ages. That scripture is in the Philadelphian church age. Do you understand? Amen. It's happening in the lampstands. That's what that quotation is trying to highlight us to. A lot of people will leave that in the church ages and say, it was the time of Luther. It was the time of the open door. Yes! But the open door depicted the authority of a mature believer in the last days. That's why Christ never spoke about all authority and all power has been given unto me. After he died, that's when he came and said that. That is Matthew chapter 28 verse 18. After all that he had done, he then comes and says, all authority and all power has been given unto me. Go. What is he saying? How can he send you without the goods? He says, go. Teach. Baptize. Go. He had already released that power in Matthew chapter 10. So he knew what that power was capable of. Remember Matthew chapter 10. Let's just look at it, young man. Matthew chapter 10, verse 4. Oh, you are an interesting congregation. Or give the Lord a hand in praise, someone. Now listen to this. Unto whatsoever city you shall come, inquire who it is, who is worthy. And they abide. Started before. Let's start from verse 1. I just want to go through with it. Right. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. On these people, even Judas Iscariot was there. But Christ was still just trying to see what his power can even do on a hypocrite. Good old devil Judas was there. Now, the names of the 12 were these. The first, Simeon, who is called Peter. Andrew, his brother. James, the son of Zebedee. And John, his brother. Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, publican, James, Alphaeus, Labias, whose surname was Thaddeus. Simon the Canaanite, Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12, Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, he never says, pray for the sick to be healed. What did he say? He never said, lay your hands on them and then pray for them. He just said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely you give. Amen. That was before his death, burial, and resurrection. After, he still comes and says, all power has been given unto me. Now go. Amen. That's where the government is upon him, but yet he releases it. Amen. To his first batch, the A-team, which then carries it into the church ages. So he gave them the ability to heal the sick. That's why, brother, when Brother Branham was doing what he was doing, he never did it the way we do. No. Brother Branham would sometimes say certain statements that would stumble people in the religious world. Did you hear what he just said? Sometimes he would be in a prayer line. He would say, child, thy sins be forgiven thee. Because people have been caught up in religion. They want to really see me. Heavenly Father, I lay my hands upon my brother. I confess it and I claim it in Jesus' name. Amen. But when Brother Branham was there, when he knew this, what did he say? Sister Hetty Wright, I give you your two boys. You preach and say, brother, I give you your job.
Amen.
He says, ah, that brother, he's just trying to get us worked up. Huh? If I know where I'm standing, knowing that the government is not on Christ's shoulders, it's on me. Hallelujah. If I have been married to him.
Amen.
In a true, invisible, holy union,
Amen.
That's where the catch is.
Amen.
Not many people are married truly to him in an invisible union.
Amen.
They are part bride, part Pentecostal, part worldly, part everything. Now you give such a person a power, he will behave like Judas.
Amen.
But if you are truly married,
Amen.
Thoroughbred message believer, you are a bride, you are a wife by an invisible. That's why the prophet preached that message, the invisible union. It's not going to happen in the rapture. It's already happening. It's a mystery union that happens to those that know that these things are not to play with. So then, if you know who you are, and you know that the government is upon your shoulder, you have the key of David. And someone tells you, I like Brother Lubanza, the way he preaches, it empowers the believer. Says, when you hear no, you hear yes. The more you apply for a job and the people are trying to tell you stories, that's when you say, ah, I was going to look for another one, but this is what I want. If you stick to your guns, the devil will give up. But if you just say, ah, well, all things work together for good, you will suffer. There are certain songs I've banned in our church. They are not for us. Those are not bride songs.
Amen.
They are for people in the dark ages.
Amen.
People under persecution. How could I sing a song? Gladly will I toil and serve. Ah! How could I make such a confession?
Amen.
Me? Gladly toil and suffer? No ways.
Amen.
This is the most beautiful time to be a bride member of Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We are the one who called the shots. We are the one in charge. Believe it or not, brothers. But let me tell you, there are certain songs that are for the past church ages. Those that were going to have their heads on a guillotine to be chopped. Yeah, those ones could sing, gladly will I toil and suffer. Me, I've been told, in the last days, the people that know their God, they shall be strong and they'll do exploits. I am that part. Daniel wanted to walk where I'm walking. And God told him, Daniel, you cannot qualify in Laodicea. Watch, Brother Crosby is coming. I'm not going to disappoint Daniel. Anybody here who says, I ain't going to disappoint those Old Testament sages. If we do religion, we will accept things. You know, sometimes it's just, you know, God takes you through suffering. Why should I live like I'm in the Pergamian church age? And then be told that he has the key of David. When he opens, no man can shut. And when he shuts, no man can open. Brother, that's why two brothers can agree on a dead body, and the dead body can rise. Amen. There is a brother in Brother Branham's church called Richard Blair. He and his other brother went to purchase a car somewhere, and there was an electrical mistake that happened, and one child was electrocuted and died. And the two brothers decided to say, but brother, what will this parent, this person think? We are believers. Amen. And then said, something said, let's phone Brother Branham. Then something said, no, we can do it. Brother Branham read it in church as an ordinary testimony. If it happens to an African, they will start a healing ministry right there. It was an ordinary statement. Oh, we have our brother Blair. They prayed for a child who was electrocuted and he raised from the dead. Where's Brother Blair? Oh, right there. Oh, Brother Blair says, signal says, oh, this is the father. Oh, is that the man? Oh, he's even come to church. God bless you, my brother. Oh, that's the boy. God bless you. Rise up so the church can see you. If it happens to Africa, if it happens, all of a sudden we pick up an attitude. Is there fire in your church? We raised the dead. We want to start a revival in Dublin. Your things are cold. We've got fire. We've got fire. Come, tell everyone that we are raising the dead. Then within no time, you start to hear that he's more deader than the ones he was raising. Praise the Lord. Heal the sick and cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. This wasn't supposed to be a power that's for preachers. It was supposed to be bride food. Bride, when the bride has been thoroughly finished, we shouldn't major on minors. If Brother James prays for someone at work and his limb straightens out, the next thing he wants to come, he doesn't want to sit where you are sitting. He wants to sit right there. In every service, there has to be an acknowledgement of Brother James. As we, just before we preach, we just, Brother James, would you close for us? With anybody wants to be anointed with Brother James? You see what we have made ourselves? We have put the government on men. Yet it's supposed to be on the bride body of Christ. Can I still preach? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad I only come once a while, you know. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go back to my quotation, young man. Now watch. Watch what the prophet says. Congregation says shoulders. That's part of the body. My, that's his body. It is. Amen. His shoulders. Amen. Is his body. Where is the government upon on the earth? Huh? Remember he said, I've got all power in heaven and on earth. But the prophet is asking, where is the government on the earth at? In his body. Amen. We don't have to fast for it. Amen. We just have to know that it's there. If you are in tune with God, amen, the government is upon your shoulder. Amen. You have the key of David. Amen. But if you read it under denominational lenses, it remains with Christ, 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 Christ. I'm reminded of Brother Branham in the message, Watchmen, What of the Night. There was a man there who was a pastor somewhere who had a boy that was seriously ill called Ricky. He was a Mexican pastor. The boy had a cancer in the mouth. And it was all opening up there to put splinters and everything. And Brother Branham was at a brother's house. And this brother rang to find out if Brother Branham was still in town. Brother Branham answered the phone. Says, would you like to come to hospital and pray for my son? Brother Branham went there. He just thought, well, maybe it's just an ordinary. He went there. He saw a hideous cancer coming out of the mouth, the head swollen, splinters, and the boy couldn't breathe. He was under that little, what do they call that, tracheostomy, that little thing to breathe with. It was just so pathetic. Brother Branham looked at it, and his heart sank. And he says, Lord, you are my God, I love you with all my heart. How could you stand and look at this and call yourself God? How could you look at this? And Brother Branham, while he was there, the Holy Ghost spoke to him back. How could you stand and look at this little boy suffer like this and still be the God of heaven? And the God says, the God of heaven comes down and says, ah, I'm actually looking to see what you will do about it. And Brother Branham says, that kind of shook me, that the situation was put back to my attention. Many times, people are praying for God to come down via Michael, the archangel, through the portals of glory. Send Gabriel to your house. Yet he's already given you the goods. Amen. You have the goods already.
Amen.
You are busy praying
Amen.
For some vavavum to come and an anointing to come where we just receive it and you all are slain in the spirit. When Brother Branham looked at that, the Holy Ghost said to him, I am waiting to see what you shall do about it. And Brother Branham just simply made a little prayer.
Amen.
And he says, Lord, I place the blood of Jesus Christ. If it was us Africans, Heavenly Father, even as we fasted, Lord, and we prayed and had a 40-day fast, and we asked for your grace to come amongst this situation, and we also, Lord, we attended a convention, and we had all these things, Almighty God, we plead your blood tonight, Father. Hallelujah! Amoya! Ambuya! Hallelujah! Praise God! Hallelujah! However, Lord, if you have not yield, let your will be done. Now when I'm in need of a prayer, don't come and say, let your will be done. Come and say, heal, Brother Crosby.
Amen.
It is God's will for me to be healed.
Amen.
Whenever you want to see that you are praying with a coward, watch how the prayer ends.
Amen.
You can go and finish and pray and pray and pray, and then when you, Lord, after all, let your will be done. He has already put a disclaimer that, however, if they are not healed, it's not my fault. Your will has been done. Brother, when you are under a desperation, you begin to, why did the prophet use that scripture? The kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. As he introduced his message, desperation. Two scriptures he used.
Amen.
The kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force.
Amen.
The other scripture was, I know thy thoughts.
Amen.
Thoughts of peace.
Amen.
To bring you to an expected end.
Amen.
Brother,
Hallelujah.
If you hear that Brother Crosby is seriously ill and he's 61 years, say, ah, well, maybe his time has come. Let's just pray that, Lord, you know, his life is right and everything. Don't pray for me like that. If I'm below 70, the Bible tells me that we've been given at least 70 years. By reason of strength, 80, 90. I will not accept to die before 70. That's just me. And my mind has been energized by what I read. So I have the key of David. I can actually open my life to minimum 70 and above. Those that say, ah, well, if it's God's will, I'll come to yours, to your funeral. But as for me, standing on these things, I will deny to die before 70.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Because I will say, Lord, the devil robbed my life, my mother's life, because she didn't know the power that lay in the scriptures. My father died at 45.
Amen.
Now I'm 42, so it means I've only got 3 years to live. if I have to live according to how my father lived. No ways, I will not accept that. Ah, some of us are rapture material. Or if we should die somewhere there around 83, 84, 85, having lived a clean, good, straight life. Praise the Lord. This is how crazy the Bible will make you think if you really believe it. You will see where it says 70. You say, oh, that's the minimum age. Anyone who dies before that, it's a premature death. He says, oh, brother, brother, must be careful. The prophet died at 56. No. I'm not talking about the prophet. I'm just talking about what I believe. Amen. We don't want to get fanatical. We just want to be, just take it as I'm saying it. Hello? Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can I still preach?
Amen.
Now watch. Says, his shoulders, his body, where is the government on the earth at? In his body. It even goes to the extent that the saints shall judge the earth. That's how powerful the bride is. That's the that's how far the jurisdiction of governance extends to. We shall judge the earth.
Amen.
That's right. Congregation says, yes. Amen. And Paul says, I dare you take one another to court or not to be before the church. Saints shall judge the earth.
Amen.
Now imagine, you were used to being kicked around by the devil, and all of a sudden, after the rapture, you just find yourself with such authority to judge the world. Some of you, it will be such strange, because you were gladly toiling and suffering here, and even singing the song on top of it. And then suddenly you have to judge the world. What a tall order. What an extremity. You come from kicked around at work to judging the earth. Overnight, over a switch. I was talking to one of my brothers. He says, you know, brother, I applied for a job. They told me this, they told me this. And then he said, pray for me. I said, brother, listen to what I'm going to preach tonight.
Amen.
If it hits you like it hit me, you will say, the devil is a liar.
Amen.
I've got authority.
Amen.
If I speak, it will be what I've spoken.
Amen.
Do you see how we deprive ourselves?
Amen.
We need to get deeper into knowing what we are.
Amen.
And there are certain things we should not accept.
Amen.
Will the devil throw it upon you? Oh, yes.
Amen.
Will there be problem? Yes. But the problem is, the problem is a problem when it comes to to me, because I have the solution.
Amen.
To all problems.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Raise it up. Now, Brother Branham, in spoken word, is the original seed. Remember, I was going backwards and forth, backwards and forth, backwards and forth. Watch what he now says. Where is the government going to be upon? Upon the shoulders. His body. The government upon his shoulders. That's a part of the body. What is it? His earthly strength. Let's read that last part together. God's earthly strength in his word made flesh, in his body here on earth, bringing it to pass.
Amen.
That's where the key of David is.
Amen.
It's in the bride. Amen. It's in God's earthly strength here on earth. It's not in a church. It's in a body of selected members. Do you understand?
Amen.
Do you understand?
Amen.
Why did God choose the body? And why did he choose that specific part of the body? Listen to this. Question and answers. Brother Branham says, now, let me show you some love of God. But when a ship was lost, he didn't use his finger.
Amen.
He laid him upon his shoulders and took his whole being, hands, sheep around the shoulder. The strongest, most powerful part of a man is across his shoulder and back. You know that? All of his arms, arm muscles, muscles move out. He's taking the whole sheep, put him upon his shoulder where he comes. Not his finger to cast out a little old devil, but he comes with all of his muscles of his legs, all the muscles of his arm, moving through the wilderness, pecking the lost sheep on his shoulder. Oh my, if I, with the finger of God, cast out devil, what does your sons cast them out by?
Amen.
What is the prophet saying? When God is redeeming you, he never uses his hands.
Amen.
When he's packing you, how many remember Longfellow's statement? Footsteps in the sands.
Amen.
Says, when I saw one set of footprints, I thought you left me alone. And he says, no, I carried you.
Amen.
He wasn't carrying us like this.
Amen.
He was putting us on the shoulders.
Amen.
Because why the shoulders? It's the most powerful part of the body. It's supplied by a string of muscles from the arms, from the back, from the legs, everywhere. All that a man is, it's the shoulder.
Amen.
But when he's casting out devils, when God is casting out devils, he uses the least part of his body. Luke 11:20. Put it up there so that we get to know our position.
Amen.
Listen to this. But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. When God is casting out devils, what part does he use? When God is casting out devils, what part does he use? Come on, church. When God is casting out devils, what part does he use? When God is carrying the believer, what part does he use? But why is it that we magnify the devil when he's just a finger job? Come on, church.
Amen.
God never uses that much effort.
Amen.
In casting out devils.
Amen.
It's finger work.
Amen.
Arthritis is finger work.
Amen.
Blood pressure, finger work.
Amen.
Cancer,
amen,
finger work.
Amen.
Headaches,
amen,
any other demon.
Amen.
Even the demons that he had to cast out of your life to peck you on his shoulders. It was finger work.
Amen.
Who's more important? You who he pecks on all where all his power is on his shoulder.
Amen.
Then when he's casting out devils, it's finger work.
Amen.
Watch how Brother Branham twists and turns with this. He's trying to show you that greater is he that's in you.
Amen.
Than he that's in the world. Says, if I, with the finger, I bet he doesn't even use the thumb. He uses the little one.
Amen.
The index. Cast out devils. No doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you.
Amen.
Back to my quote. Now watch. It says, he put him upon his shoulder and he comes, not with his finger, to cast out a little old devil. But here he comes with his muscles of the leg, muscles of the arm, moving through the wilderness, pecking the lost sheep on his shoulder. Oh my, if I, with the finger of God, cast out devil, who does your sons cast them out by? Oh, hallelujah. Oh my. Do you see the attitude? Do you see the empowerment? But yet, if someone comes and says, this brother has got cancer, let's pray for him. You'll see the frenzy in the surprise that, oh, cancer is serious. But if you know that it's finger work,
amen,
you don't even lay hands
You lay your fingers because it's finger weak. That's how the prophet was trying to put a demarcation and show how great a responsibility he's put upon us by where he puts us when he's redeeming us. And yet, how small and insignificant little old devil is by way, by the instrument he uses by casting him out. Finger. All demons are finger weak. As a matter of fact, anyone bothered with a demon, I cast it out in Jesus' name. Some of you might think it's a joke, but I'm just following what the prophet says. It's finger work. It is finger work. That's why the Bible says, fret not. God is not surprised. That's why Brother Branham, when he prayed that little prayer on little Ricky, and says, I place the blood. He never prayed that, oh Lord, if you, oh God, by your mercy, merciful Jesus, if you, by your kindness, Father, if you just, you know, if you just place the blood and let it be, Father, if it's your will. He says, Lord, I place the blood of Jesus Christ between this cancer and little Ricky. The boy was out of hospital in 2 days. 2 days! Why? The man knew what authority. He knew that if he opens, no man can shut it. Not that if Christ opens. No. The key of David is on the shoulder. That's the authority we have, Brother Francois. We have a power that the Bible says you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Most of our power has just stopped us, sisters, from wearing trousers and earrings. But the rest of the territory, the government is upon the devil. Brother, how many say, I want my God-given rights? If I'm the one in charge, I shall say to the half of the kingdom, like Queen Esther, that's my power. That's my authority. Raise it up. Now, Lord, thou art God. We are your servants. We thank you for your word, for the Holy Spirit who's blessed our hearts. And now we are happy we are sitting here, knowing that we are conquerors. We are conquerors. We already possess all the gates. Not we shall possess. We already possess all the gates of the enemy. It has been given to us, and we have the master key in our hand. The name of Jesus Christ shall unopen every gate of the enemy. Now, when I read that in our church, they said, but Pastor, you said the key is on the shoulders, but it says we have the master key in our hand. No, the one he's saying that's in the hand is the name. But the one that opens, it's still on the shoulders. He knows the authority that's in the name. He says here, take this key, the key of the name of Jesus, and unopen every gate of the enemy that has bound away from any promise. How many have ever talked themselves out of something to say, you know what, that can never happen to me? The devil had bound you away from your promises. Amen. Take the name of Jesus. Amen. And unopen. Amen. There are some people that the devil tells, you can never get married. You can never be happy. You don't deserve this. You don't deserve that. You don't deserve this. You gladly will you toil and suffer. Only let me be close to thee. Don't you know that if you toil and suffer too much, you might actually not be close to him? You will end up saying, my God, why have thou forsaken me? Pain is a way of distancing you from the thing that you think you are close to. Come on, somebody.
Praise the Lord. Watch, he says. I'll tell you a little story of what happened with this song, Gladly Will I Toil and Suffer, in our church. One brother stood up. The brother has no papers. He's been waiting for 7 years. So he stood up this day. He's not a brother who normally sings items. He's a big guy like Brother David. He stood up and said to the song leader, today I would like to sing an item. That day, I was late at church because we had to pass through and get someone to bring them to church. So the brother sang the song way before I got to church, unbeknown to me. He starts to sing his song. He sings his item. People get in the spirit, gladly toiling and suffer. I come in and I start to preach. And then I say, why would a man like this brother sing a song called Gladly Will I Toil and Suffer? The man got shocked. He says, I know for a fact the time the pastor came in. How did he know? I said, brother, that's the Holy Spirit denying. We lock ourselves out of God's promises. But yet when we follow Brother Branham's life, his life was full of exploits. Not because he was the final voice for the last day. No, it was an empowerment for us to know that if the first mature chief offering has done this, the rest will come to the same maturity. We might not descend like him. We might not have a ministry. Ministry is different. But the quality of life of placing the devil in his position should be what should be bride food. Amen.
Amen.
Listen to this. It says, God, this morning we come in the name of Jesus with this key to unopen the gates for the sick and afflicted, for it is written in thy word. Now imagine if we all believed it like that, how many gates would we open now?
Amen.
Would it just be a service where we say, it's quite an eye opener, you know? It's quite an eye-opener to realize that the key of David, that scripture of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, links with Isaiah 22:22 and Revelation 3:7. In the prophet, you know the way he put it. He put it in the Philadelphia church age and connected it with spoken word is the original seed. So there must be something. Watch the quotations from spoken word is the original seed. Then we go home, and the devil, the moment you open your door, the devil sits. He says, right, you are getting too excited at church. You're talking about the government being upon your shoulders. Now who's in charge, me or you? And then you revert back to your same old, pathetic, shameful way of faith. Saying, if it's God's will. It can't be God's will for a man to go blind when he's supposed to support a family. Someone has to say no.
Amen.
And when you say no,
Amen.
Thinking that the devil is going to say, are you sure?
Amen.
He will run away.
Amen.
Does not your scripture say, resist the devil and you'll flee away?
Amen.
You've got the power.
Amen.
If any of you agree on anything,
Amen.
Whatever you bind is bound. Whatever you loose is loosed.
Amen.
That scripture only makes sense when people are being put into the hands of the devil. That's when people really feel fear its weight. Says, you know, that brother is in the hands of the devil. It's going to work. It's been bound and unbound. But yet, our life is supposed to be knowing what authority
Amen.
Has been invested in us. That's why when God was teaching Moses in the first Exodus, his oracles, when Moses came to a dead end,
Amen.
He died. He did what human beings do. We cry. But did God say, poor Moses, okay, let's wipe your tears and we'll think of a plan. Let's wipe your tears. Poor Moses, you're still very sincere. You still cry to me. Goody, goody, bless you, Moses. Did he do that? What did he say? He even asked him, why cry? Speak and go forward. Now you are waiting for a Red Sea and yet you're looking for a job. Why cry? Just say it now and say, my job is coming to me. Speak and go forward. You phone that person and says, I will not agree to what you have said. You gave me that job. You told me this. I'm coming. Okay, come. If you try it once and it works, I'll tell you, my brother, it's addictive. You'll do it over and over and over until even when your child gets sick, almost nigh unto death, you will say, get away, devil. You won't even take your wife back to the bedroom and say, let's lament over this case. Where you because, Heavenly Father, if it is your will for our child to live, Lord, oh God, you gave it to us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gave. The Lord had taken away. Ah, you say, Satan, you ain't taking mine away. Are you Job saying the Lord gave, the Lord take away? Ah. You need to know your position in Christ. Raise it up, young man. Need that quotation in adoption. Watch what the prophet says. Bible teaching is usually a little treacherous. A little, you know, kind of walking out on thin ice, we call it. But we must feel that maybe at this point and at this time, it might be good to kind of bring the church to what I think, to a complete understanding positionally of what we are. In Christ Jesus. Look how treacherous it is. Many times you have heard preachers come and say, the key of David is with Christ. I've come to say, no, it's not with Christ, it's with you.
Amen.
How treacherous can that be? Is the brother trying to say that Christ is not the key of David? I've always read it like this. Well, the prophet came and magnified it and said, that was a mere shadow. But it's actually Christ in the candlesticks. And where is the shoulder? A shoulder is part of the body. So if you don't understand it, I've walked on thin ice tonight. But if you catch it, it will be a wonderful thing.
Amen.
It will positionally place you.
Amen.
How many agree with my statement?
Amen.
Listen to this. It says, and sometimes I think that preaching is a wonderful thing. But I believe sometimes, Brother Billa, that teaching goes beyond that. It kindly, especially to the church. Now, preaching usually catches the sinner, brings him under condemnation by the word. But teaching places a man positionally what he is. And we can never rightly be able to have faith until positionally we know what we are.
Amen.
Amen.
How can you have faith when all you've been taught is to say when things get deep and your problems, you just have to accept the situation because all things work together for good. So if the devil kicks you, you say all things work together for good. Then he kicks you again, say all things work together for good. Then he kicks you again. You can't have faith.
Amen.
Yet that scripture actually means that all things work together for good. But in the equation, you are not the defeated.
Amen.
It's the devil who's on the run. Because you have now been positionally placed. So when a problem comes to you, you are not saying all things work together for good. Gladly will I toil and suffer. Because you have been well taught, you will say all things work together for good. Satan, you have picked the wrong men to fight.
Amen.
I will kick you.
Amen.
Because I possess the gate of the enemy, the gate of sickness, the gate of poverty, the gate of lack. Every other gate, I possess it.
Amen.
So, says, but when teaching places a man positionally what he is. Imagine You going to work where you are persecuted by your boss and his assistant and his secretary and his watchman by the door, the hood. Everyone around you is just kicking you left, right, and center for no apparent reason. And then you just start to say to yourself, maybe this is the squeeze. Well, if you say it's the squeeze, then use the spoken word. Because once you say the squeeze, you are saying there is too much power as well. Because the squeeze is synonymous with spoken word power. Because our currency out of our problems in the squeeze is the third pool. So don't just be saying, it's the squeeze, brother. It's the squeeze. If you say it's the squeeze, you better show us also the third pool. Hello?
Amen.
That is what happens when someone has been correctly taught. If we say, brother, things are getting bad and bad and bad, something in us should say, but it's shalom time for the bride. Things are getting brighter and brighter and brighter. Because the bride only emerges when situations are tough. An eagle only flies higher when chickens have finished clucking and hawks have gone on poles. That's when you can see the difference between an eagle and a hawk. How many say tonight, the government is upon our shoulder? The government is upon our shoulder. Why would the prophet tell us that power without character is satanic and not allow us to get the power, yet all through the years we've been schooled through to the character? Surely there should be someone who has passed the character test, so we should now also see the power with character. If that quotation is used to say power without character is satanic, to stop people from exercising power, it means we should see its opposite. We want to see power with character being godly. Come on, somebody. I feel like I'm preaching to myself. Somebody help me with an amen. It will encourage me. Teaching shows you who you are. Once you know your rights, there are things that you shouldn't tolerate. How many know that even when our children are told by social services that if your parents abuse you, phone us, they pick up an attitude because they have been empowered. Someone told them that if your parents called you verbal abuse and they call you names and you don't like it, phone this number. I believe you have that number in Ireland. Don't you see them picking up an attitude at home of you can't touch me? If you do, you are gonna. You will find yourself in Kinshasa if you touch me. How many know that?
Amen.
Just by knowing there is a number they can phone. You can't just go about how we grew up in Africa and say, hey, child, I'll beat you up. You have to speak nicely now.
Amen.
Because she also has an empowerment. She says, you can't talk to me like this, Dad. I'm 18. I'm 21 now. I mean, I'm mature. Brother George can't just come and say, Tara! Tara! Tara will just say, that could work in Africa. Because you could get away with murder in Africa. Here, I'm a phone call away from having them surround this place and me be taken to safety. So Brother George has to come tactfully. You know, Tara, there's the devil out there, you know. I love you, you know. Love is corrective. The language changes because a child is empowered. How much more when you know that the devil is under your feet? There is a power you can exercise on him. Shouldn't that give you a little bit of a confidence? Or give the Lord a hand and praise someone? Just by knowing you can do something about it. I hope there is nobody here who loves that song, Gladly Will I Toil and Suffer. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
How many have been empowered tonight to know that the government is not upon Christ, it's upon his shoulder?
Amen.
When I got this, Isaiah 9 has never been the same for me. May God bless you.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Saints, I trust that tonight, through these little quotations we were reading, something has been ignited in your faith. Your faith cannot be positionally placed unless you know where you stand with God.
Amen.
There are things that the devil tries to throw your way. You shouldn't accept them.
Amen.
The devil is less powerful than you are.
Amen.
To the extent that when God wants to carry you, he uses the strongest part of his body,
Amen.
The shoulder. But when he wants to cast out the devil, he uses his fingers. How many believe that this is the food for the bride? You have the key of David. When you open it, no man can shut it. When Brother Branham opened the salvation to those right boys, they remained saved. When Brother Branham said, before the doctor touches my wife, let that tumor dissolve, the tumor knew who was in authority, who was in charge. As I finish with this last quotation, the last slide, listen to what the prophet says, still in the same message, adoption. Brother Abraham says, preaching catches the sinner, brings them under condemnation, but teaching positionally places the believer. And he further says, now if the United States of America, of this fair land here, sent me over to Russia as an ambassador of this nation, to Russia, then if they have officially sent me to Russia, all the power that the United States has is behind me. My word is just the same as the United States. If I have been recognized as an ambassador, and then if God has sent us to be his ambassadors, all the power that is in heaven and all that God is, all of his angels and all of his power stands behind our words if we were correctly ordained. Do you understand that? Correctly ordained. Sent messengers to the people. God has to honor the word. For he has so solemnly written that whatever you bind on earth, that will I bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, that will I loose in heaven. And I give unto thee the keys to the kingdom. Oh, such great promises he has given the church. It's high time we lift him out of history. It's high time we make these things work in our individual lives. If they work for you, remember when I started to preach, I told you that God rehearses his power first before he gives you the full authority. He even had to rehearse it with the devil in the mix. He gave them power in Matthew 10. But afterwards, Peter is the one you saw taking the power feather, saying, silver and gold have I none. He never said, such as God has given and will send from heaven. He said, such as I have. When will that time come? When the bride rises out of its complex and mature as a chosen lady with a government upon his shoulders. Saints, don't be intimidated. Heaven is waiting to back up your word. Amen. If you are correctly ordained. Watch the key phrase. Correctly ordained. If you are truly married to Christ in an invisible union, where you have taken off your veil and put it on his shoulder, and he has taken his authority and put it on your shoulder. When there is that oneness, that's why Brother Branham says, if you remain sincere, not even cancer can stand before you. Which means sincerity is an important part of the equation. How many say, Lord, help us tonight? As I invite our brother to close for us, I was told there's a brother, a minister, Brother Francois, coming close for us this service. As we rise to our feet, before I hand over the service to him, can we sing that song, What a Wonderful Thing, to be saved from sin, have peace within, to be made a joint heir. What a wonderful thing that Christ shares his government with us. We are his earthly power. Let's sing it 3 times. Then I'll give over the service to our brother. Pray for me. I'm continuing with the next part of the same scripture tomorrow. How many have been blessed so far? Amen. Give God a clap offering. A wonderful thing to be saved from sin, have peace within, to be made a joint heir. This is not a song you sing sulking. It's a song you are celebrating. What a wonderful thing it is to share or have core power with the eternal God as his bride. You are his voice. You are his power here on earth. Amen. Let's sing it. What a wonderful thing, a wonderful thing, to be saved from sin, have peace within, to be made a joint heir with Jesus my King. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. What a wonderful, what a wonderful thing. A wonderful thing to be saved from sin, have peace within, to be made a joint heir with Jesus my King. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. What a wonderful, what a wonderful thing. A wonderful thing to be saved from sin, have peace within, to be made a joint heir with Jesus my King. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. What a wonderful, what a wonderful thing. A wonderful thing to be saved from sin, have peace within, to be made a joint heir with Jesus my King. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. His other name is Wonderful. How many like to know how wonderful he is tomorrow? Pray for tomorrow's sermon as I give over to our brother.
May God bless you.
I think it was a great privilege to be here tonight. It was a blessing. Each of us has received his portion. There's no comment to it because the brewer has laid down everything and closed everything. There's nothing I can add to it. Just remember, the pastor sent me a message today. He says, greet the congregation. And he was requesting a prayer as the last service is today. He said, tell the congregation to pray for us. Let's sing Give Me All the Time, Religion. Then we'll all enter a time of prayer.
He's the old time Holy Spirit and the wonderful, wonderful there.
Was among us. You are faithful to the appointment. You say where two or three are gathered in thy name, you shall be now in their midst, Father. We believe that you were he and you have spoken to us through our brethren, Father. We thank you so much for that, and we don't want to depart this place the same way we came, Father. The words was clearly presented to us, Father. We want that word to become flesh inside of our life, because we are needy people and we need to apply the scripture. And the prophet said the only way to take God is taking him by his word, Father. We want to take you by your word, Father. You say yourself that anything that you shall pray on earth in my name, it shall be given unto thee, Father. You never says what or what should we pray, Father, but you says anything, Father. And a congregation like this will not ask something wrong. All they will ask, Father, is that will be for your glory. that we claim, Father, the victory, Father, over the power of the enemy. If there's anybody has any sickness, any problem tonight, Father, as the scripture shown, Father, we don't need even to lay hand, Father. You, the mighty God, you have put the power upon our shoulder, Father. And we believe that we are your bride, Father. And the prophet says, the moment the bride will recognize his position, the rapture shall take place, Father. And we have recognized our position, Father. And we have put aside all the liar of the enemy, Father. And we come with the authority under the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father. That we all the chain of the enemy shall be broken tonight in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father. It shall be no feeble person come out from this place the way they came, Father. You shall demonstrate it, Father. You are through the preaching, Father, of thy word that was preached, Father. Let something special happen, Father. In any unspoken request, Father, you know even the number of the hair of our head, Father. You know our need, and we committed them at thy hand, Father, that you shall grant to us, Father, because we are your children. You are our holy hope and trust, and we trust in thy word, Father, and we commit this moment at thy hand. We commit our brethren that has preached on your behalf at thy hand. The virtue has gone out of his body, Father, as he's preparing himself for tomorrow. We ask you that you shall restore virtue to his body, Father, that when he stands here, Father, the heaven will be open again for us, Father, that this place shall never be a place, a gathering of the people, but people meeting with the Lord, Father, because we didn't come here to meet with one another, we come to meet with thee, Father, and we believe, Father, that all the time religion, Father, is our portion tonight, Father, because the same old time religion that were able, Father, that man that was begging for food, and people Peter and John, they told him, silver we don't have, but we let stand in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, what more we can ask you? That you shall fill us all together with the divine love, Father, and shall give us more sincerity, oh Father, in our walk with thee, Father, that we shall walk daily according to the message of the hour, Father. And all things that could take us away from thy presence, Father, that could not give us the power to manifest what you have given to us, Father, we commit all sin under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father. And we want you to accept us because you have accepted the sacrifice that was made for our sin. Father, tonight we are going with joy inside of our heart, Father. We are going knowing that our burden are lifted up from us, Father. Because you have said, come unto me, you that are burdened, and I will take the burden from thee, Father. You know all of us. You know each of us where we're standing tonight, Father. You know our position in this Christian life, Father. But you call us all to the adoption of the Son and the Daughter of God. That's why we ask you that you shall bring us to that adoption in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We want also to remember our pastors preparing himself, Father, that they're going to come back to Dublin, Father, that you shall be with them. You shall give them, Father, a safe journey. You shall prosper their way back, Father. And the way you have prospered them there, Father, they have been a blessing, Father. When they come, they are testimony, Father. Let something, Father, we lift up again our faith, Father. We commit to Sunday service at thy hand that you shall be with us. Depart with us from this place. Protect us in our road back, Father. Father, we know that the enemy in many ways will like to do this and like to do that, but we are sure that the same God that went with the Hebrew children is the same God tonight, Father. That's why we ask you that thy angel shall go before us, Father, and protect us on the road, Father. Then we come back tomorrow here, we will all give testimony. And we all say that it was good to be in the house of God, Father. I take my faith with the faith of thy congregation, Father. And we put them together at thy hand and say amen to the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, amen. Let's dismiss, then we meet tomorrow by the grace of God in normal time. Give me that.